Part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on there is at the end of chapter 23, beginning verse 29, where the Bible reads, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine." And what I want to preach about this morning is habits that people have. Some habits are good habits, and some habits are bad habits. And this here describes something that is a very bad habit, which is drinking. Now, if we read this scripture, and we start out in verse 29 here, he lists some of the negative effects of drinking. He says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling?" And even if we were to go to someone who loved drinking alcohol and drunk a lot of alcohol and thought that that was just fine, I think most people would probably agree when we showed them this scripture that people who drink alcohol are going to have these things. You know, if we said to them, "Do people who drink alcohol have more contention or fighting?" Oh yeah, they would agree with that. "Do people who drink alcohol babble? Do they have redness of eyes?" I mean, if we showed them these negative effects, most people would agree that drinking is a vice, that drinking is something that is a bad habit that causes bad things to happen in your life. He said the people who have these things, woe and sorrow, contention, he said in verse 30, is they that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Then he expounds upon that in verse 31. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." Now, let me stop right there for a moment. That should show us right there that according to the Bible, there are different types of wine. You know, a lot of people will take the word wine in the Bible and just always assume, hey, that's an alcoholic beverage like what we would call wine today. But if so, then why would God differentiate here and he'll tell us that there's a type of wine that we're not supposed to look at? He says, "Look not upon the wine when," meaning that there's another type of wine or another time when we could look upon the wine and drink the wine and be just fine. He says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." Obviously, he's referring to a high alcohol content. And when I say high, I'm talking about the stuff that's sold at the store in a bottle that's called wine. It's in the wine department. I'm talking about beer. I'm talking about Budweiser. You know, I'm talking about drinks that will cause you to become drunk. Okay? Now, obviously, there could be wine that's just juice, like just grape juice, because all throughout the Bible uses the term wine even to describe the juice that's in the grape when it's on the cluster. Obviously not an alcoholic beverage there, okay? And obviously when you crush those grapes and make juice or juice any fruit, okay, that fruit juice is very good for you. It's healthy, it tastes good, and it will have minuscule amounts of alcohol if you leave it on the counter for 3 hours. But what this is talking about here is a drink that we shouldn't even look at. Now, people today, they try to twist the scripture and say, well, it's okay to drink beer, it's okay to drink wine, as long as you do it in moderation. You know, these type of intoxicating beverages should be drunk in moderation. But that's not what the Bible's teaching here, because the Bible is teaching here not to even look at a certain type of beverage. Amen. Don't even look at it, he says. So therefore, he's not saying, oh, just drink a little bit of the one that's alcoholic. He's not saying drink a little bit, is he? He's saying just stay away from that type of beverage, period. Stay away from it. Now look, it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." What he's talking about here is someone who partakes in alcohol, and they're not even aware of what's happening to them. They're not aware of being beaten. They're not aware of being stricken. They don't even know until the next morning the full effect of what has happened unto them. But the part that I want to focus on here is that last phrase at the end of verse 35 where he says, "When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." So here is a guy who's acknowledging all the bad things that alcohol does. He's acknowledging the fact that it causes woe, sorrow, contention, redness of eyes, wounds without cause. He's acknowledging that it's going to make him say perverse things and behold strange women and to be beaten and to have all these bad things happen. but yet he seeks it again. So the question is, why? Why does he seek it yet again? Why, after all the sickness and all the pain and all the sorrow, maybe the loss of money, maybe the DUI comes and causes huge amounts of financial loss, maybe embarrassment at work, it could be a night or two in jail, 10 days in jail. I mean, all these bad effects, but yet, when shall I arise? I'll seek it yet again. Why? Because alcohol is addictive, that's why. Because, and what's another word for being addictive? Habit forming. Now, another scripture that came to mind as I was thinking about this is Proverbs 26:11. Just go a few pages over to the right in your Bible. And the Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So this is a fool who keeps going back and doing the same bad thing over and over again. They know it's bad. They know it's messing up their life. They know it's foolish. And if they were to stop and think about it and reason with it, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing. But yet, the dog returns to his vomit. The drunk returns to his liquor. And people just keep coming back and doing the same things over and over and over again because of addiction or habit. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter number 7 in the New Testament. Romans chapter number 7. You see, we as human beings become addicted to things and we form habits in our lives. All of us have many, many habits, whether we know it or not. Some of those habits are good habits and some of those habits are bad habits. Here we're reading about a guy in Proverbs 23 who has a bad habit of drinking alcohol, getting drunk, and having all these bad things happen. Well, we see dogs have this bad habit of returning again to their vomit. Not because it tastes good, not because there's nutritional value to be gained, but it's just a habit. It's just an instinct. It's just something that they do without even thinking about it. I mean, and who has ever seen dogs do that? Of course, that's what dogs do. But it says in Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Carnal is the opposite of spiritual. Carnal meaning fleshly. He says, I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, meaning what I want to do, when he says what I would, he's saying what I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So here we see Paul talking about doing things that he doesn't want to do. Doing things that he, in fact, hates. Wanting to do what's right, but finding himself doing wrong. It says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Do you see that? It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's saying it's the flesh that's doing it. And he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, meaning I want to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now obviously what Paul's talking about here in Romans 7 are sins that he's committing habitually, not just something that he did one time. It's not that he committed one sin one day, and then a few weeks later committed a completely different sin. And then he's talking about something that he keeps on doing over and over again. He doesn't want to do it, but there's this law in his members. Basically, his flesh keeps compelling him to sin over and over again. He's not talking about a one-time sin here. He's talking about sinning over and over again as a result of his flesh and the law of his members. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to do what's right. On the inside, after the inward man, he delights in the law of God. But he finds himself going back and committing the same sins. Now, I've heard people often say that, you know, if you habitually commit the same sin, you're not saved. Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the Apostle Paul is probably the greatest Christian of the New Testament. And here we see him struggling with a pattern of committing the same sins over and over again. to sit there and say, well, if you keep committing the same sins over and over again, you're not saved. I mean, that's almost teaching work salvation, because, you know, the only thing you have to do to be saved is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, you know, when you get saved, yes, God creates a new creature. Yes, the Holy Spirit moves in, but guess what? The flesh didn't go anywhere. You still have the flesh, just like Paul had the flesh. And if we walk in the Spirit, then we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we walk in the flesh, that law of our carnal members is going to take over, and we're going to continue to commit the same sins over and over again. And no matter how good of a Christian you are, whether you're the Apostle Paul, who is here describing this struggle, or whether you're the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He said, look, we have sin. We are not perfect. We are in the flesh. But you see, a lot of our sin, we don't plan to do it, do we? I mean, we don't plan, hey, I'm going to go out and sin today. I'm going to go out and commit sins. A lot of it we are doing because of bad habits that we have developed in our lives. And these bad habits compel us to commit sin without even really thinking about it sometimes. We just instinctively commit sin. And I was thinking of a lot of bad habits that people have that they just do instinctively. Like, obviously, drinking is something that's addictive, something that people just do without thinking much about it. And usually an addiction is defined as something that you don't want to continue doing, but you have to keep doing it, right? Smoking is another bad habit, right? And this is something that people do many times a day. You know, let's say if they smoke a pack a day, you know, that's 20 times. And 20 times a day, they're not deciding, shall I smoke a cigarette? Let me think about the research that's out there about the health, concerns. They don't stop and consider, you know, what is this going to make my furniture and my clothing smell like? What is this going to do to my life expectancy? What is this going to do to my health? What is this? Is this in my budget to spend, you know, $200 a month or $300 a month on cigarettes? Which, that's how much it costs, by the way, to smoke. I mean, that's a car payment. But they don't stop and think about that. No, they just mechanically, instinctively, like breathing air, reach in, pull out the cigarette, put it in their mouth, light it up, without even thinking about it. You know, another bad habit that people have is watching TV, and I've seen people do this by habit. I remember I used to work at a job where I would go out of town with another guy, you know, a fellow technician. We'd be working on a big fire alarm job, and so we'd have to share the hotel room. Okay, that's pretty common. And so we'd be in the hotel room, and I didn't want to watch TV. Because I didn't watch TV, and I haven't watched TV in over a decade. And so I would always ask that, you know, we not watch TV. I'd say, look, you know, let's not watch TV. Let's do something else, because I don't watch TV. I don't like. And the guy that I went out of town with would always be, sure, no problem. That's fine. But then he would keep turning the TV on. And I would say, hey, wait, I thought we weren't going to watch TV. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. And then, you know, 30 minutes go by. TV comes back on. You're like, what's going on? I thought we talked about this. You know, I don't watch TV. But it just kept coming on. Why? Because it's just a habit of just, I enter a room, I've finished work, I've had dinner, I sit down, I turn on the TV. And it's just, he couldn't get over it. He just kept turning it on. Same thing, another guy I was riding with in the work van, and you know, he wanted to listen to all the rock and roll and all the hip hop, and I said, hey, I don't want to listen to this stuff. Let's just talk. It'll be more fun. We can have a conversation. Can talk about stuff. So, you know, we'd start talking, and he just kept reaching over and turning it on. And I say, hey, I thought we were going to listen. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. But it's just a habit to just knee-jerk, just turn it on. Drinking, smoking, watching TV. What about being late? Have you noticed that people who are late are always late? Yep. Now, there are going to be times when, you know, something comes up, and a person who's normally very prompt and very reliable shows up late for some reason. But have you ever noticed that there are people who are just always late every single time? And I'm not talking about to church, okay? I'm just saying in general. You know, people are just always late, just every time. And sometimes people are even consistently late by the same amount, just 10 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late, 20 minutes late, 20 minutes late. Just always. That's a bad habit of just being late. And it's like you're so consistent. If you could just move this up a little while, everything would be fine. You know, people have a habit of procrastinating things. Maybe a habit of hitting the snooze button in the morning. You know, instead of the alarm going off and just get out. Because some people, the alarm goes off, they just get out of bed. Other people keep hitting the snooze button. And I remember when I first, you know, became an adult and had a job where I had to get up early in the morning and go to work. I remember somebody gave me really good words of wisdom that helped me. They said, you know what? Getting up is going to be painful no matter when you do it. Getting up, it stinks to get out of bed in the morning, so you might as well just do it the first time. It's not going to be any easier 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later. So, you know, just you might as well just get up as early as you want, because it's not going to be fun no matter what time you get up. And I remember he told me that, and that stuck with me, and I just got up on time the first time. You know, eating junk food. I mean, how many people just set out and just, I want to eat a McDonald's every day. I want to eat junk food every day. But people just keep doing it. They just keep, when shall I arise? I'll seek it yet again. You know, and they just keep getting it over and over again without even thinking about it. You know, I mean, a bad habit could be losing your temper, you know, just blowing your top. It could be video games. You know, people get addicted to video games and they have a bad habit. They just think about it all day and they just can't wait to play. And the next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and they're playing their video game. You know, some people have a bad habit of arguing and talking back to an authority figure. Like, for example, their supervisor at work. Anytime their supervisor at work corrects them, they just knee-jerk, just talk back. And the Bible talks about how servants should be obedient to their masters, and it says, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. So God is there telling us that as an employee, we shouldn't always be talking back. But a lot of times, there are people who can just never receive correction or receive instruction without saying something back. They can't just, yes, sir, and just move on. They always have, oh, but I was just doing this. Oh, but I just wanted to, but you don't understand. I was, you know, and they just talk back. Children talk back to their parents the same way. That's a bad habit. It becomes a reflex where they don't even think about it. Just anytime somebody corrects them, anytime somebody gives them an instruction, they answer again. They talk back. It's just a bad habit. Some people have a bad habit of just compulsively spending money, wasting money. Or sometimes women can develop a habit of just every day they must leave the house for no reason. They have no reason to leave the house. They have no reason to go anywhere. But they just develop, I just have to get out of the house and just go do, and then they, you know, spend money or waste money or do, you know. And again, I'm not saying that my wife needs to stay home every day, you know. But it's just when you're just leaving the house for no reason, you just have to just always go somewhere. You just got to leave and go somewhere. You know, it's just a bad habit. Now, if you want to live your life where you're just always going somewhere every day, then fine. But some people, it's just a habit. It's not really something that they need to be doing. It's just something that they do compulsively because it's a habit. So there, you know, and you might be able to think of other bad habits. Those are just some bad habits that I came up with. I'm sure you could probably think of a lot of other bad habits, and maybe you can think of some bad habits in your life, just stuff that you just keep doing over and over again. Maybe it's going to the grocery store and looking at the magazine rack, at the filthy magazines that are there. You know, maybe it's watching TV, drinking, eating junk food, whatever it is that's a bad habit, that's a sinful habit. You know, these are things that are causing us to sin over and over again, and these are things that we need to try to transform into good habits. Because there are a lot of, see, this thing of habits, it's a two-edged sword. It doesn't always have to be a bad thing. Like, for example, go to Luke chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to show you a good habit. I found a lot more good habits in the Bible than I found bad habits. A lot of good habits that people in the Bible had developed and things that they automatically did. And I'll say more about that in a moment, about what a habit is. But look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And while you're turning there, I'll read for you another verse. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? Train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Look what the Bible says about Jesus in Luke 4:16. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So let me stop and say this. Jesus had not been in Nazareth for a while now. That's where he'd been brought up as a young person. Now he's somewhere else, okay? And he's returning back to Nazareth. And when he gets back to Nazareth, it says, as his custom was, referring to the custom that he had when he used to live in Nazareth. It says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So here's a custom or a routine or a habit that Jesus had of on the Sabbath day, he goes to the synagogue and he stands up at the front of the synagogue and he reads the Bible. This is a routine that he had. So we could develop good habits, for example, good habits of reading the Bible, praying, singing the hymns, going soul winning, going to church. These are things that we often do by habit. And when I say by habit, I'm saying you don't make a decision to do it every time you do it. I mean, you don't wake up every Sunday morning and decide, am I going to go to church or am I not going to go to church? Sunday night rolls around. Shall we go to church or not go to church? Wednesday night, are we going to church or not going to church? Now, there are some people who make that decision, but aren't there many, many other people in our church who just automatically, Sunday morning, they go to church. Sunday night, they go to church. Wednesday night, they go to, they don't think about it. They don't decide. They don't weigh the options. They just go. It's just a routine. It's just their custom. It's just their habit. So just as a bad habit could develop that could cause you to keep drinking, smoking, eating junk, staying up late, playing video games, just wasting your time, those bad habits can be replaced by good habits of, you know, reading the Bible, praying. I mean, wouldn't you love to have just a habit of just automatically reading your Bible, automatically praying, where you just know it's going to happen every day? I mean, wouldn't you like to develop that habit? Other people sit around and just think, oh, I'd love to read my Bible, but it just doesn't happen because they're not in the habit. You know, people develop habits of soul winning where they're just every week they're out soul winning, every week they're out soul winning. But then what happens is a lot of times they'll miss just a couple weeks, and what happens? They get out of that habit. They fall into old habits. And then next thing you know, maybe they missed a few weeks for a legitimate reason. You know, maybe they became sick or had an emergency or something that happened. But then what happens is if you don't jump right back into it, it's easy sometimes to lose that habit. Get out of the habit. You know, you miss church for a few weeks. You get out of the habit of going to church. You read the Bible every day, every day, every day. And then you miss a few days. And then you start to get into other habits, bad habits, instead of your good habits that you develop. Now, it's interesting because this is actually, this concept of people having habits has actually been scientifically studied a lot. You see, the first time you do something, it takes a lot of thought. Like, let me just give you some really basic examples. Like, think about eating. You know, you don't, when you sit down to eat, you don't sit there and think, okay, I'm going to pick up the fork, I'm going to stab the food, I'm going to lift up my hand, I'm going to bend at the elbow, I'm going to insert it into my mouth, I'm going to pull out the fork, I'm going to chew it. Aren't you just doing it automatically by habit? You have a certain habit, and different people eat differently. They have different eating habits. But it's done automatically. It's not something you think about. But wait a minute, what about a little child or a baby? Have you noticed they have to think about every step? I mean, they have to sit there, reach out, pick up the fork, and you know, it goes in their eye or whatever. So it's not automatic. It hasn't become habit yet because the first time they're doing it. Think about riding a bicycle. Okay, when you're first riding a bicycle, man, you're trying to coordinate so many things at a time. You're trying to stay balanced. You're trying to push the pedal and steer the handlebars. And it's difficult to learn how to ride a bike. But once you learn how to ride it, you don't even think about it, and you never forget, do you? You could not ride a bike for 20 years. You come back, and those old habits come back, okay? And scientists have even studied this. You know, they put all these electrodes on people's brains and everything and study how their brain works, and this is how it works. When you do something new, when you first start doing some activity, there's all this tons of brain activity as you're trying to think about it. You know, the first time you're back in your car out of the driveway, you're thinking about so many different things. You're checking the mirror. You're doing the steering wheel. You're thinking about how much pressure you're putting on the gas pedal. You know, you're watching for obstacles, and it's very difficult. Now you just hop in the car, just, you know, you just get on your way, okay? And it's easy. You don't even think about it. You could be on the phone, eating food, and doing it at the same time because you've just done it so many times. This is why, because the first time you do something, your brain has to expend all this energy, making all these decisions and thinking about everything that you're doing. But then what happens is, once you do it over and over again, your brain decides, wait a minute, I'm wasting way too much energy thinking about this. Because if we had to think that hard about everything we do, we'd get nothing done. I mean, we'd be so, and at the end of the day, we'd be so stressed out just from our brains working so hard just to feed and, you know, okay, how do I put my clothes on? You know, I got to pick up my clothes. I got to put my leg in, you know, and just having to think about everything. So our brain decides, okay, this is an activity that I'm going to be doing again. I've done it twice. I've done it three times. I've done it four times. This is something that's going to keep happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop thinking so much about it. I'm going to put it in the habit section. And there's a part of your brain called the basal ganglia, okay? And it's at the deep center of your brain, like near to the brain stem, like right in the middle of your brain, okay? And this basal ganglia is where just these automatic routines get stored. And so when people do things over and over again, instead of their whole brain working, pretty soon it gets to the point where the rest of their brain doesn't engage at all. It's just this one little part of their brain that just basically sets in motion a course of events that is automatic, okay? And it's triggered, something triggers it, and then just an automatic course of motion is set about, and then, you know, that's how it is. And basically, you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You're not even stopping and thinking, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this sin? Is this good? Do I want to do this? Do I know? No, none of that even happens. It's just like a knee-jerk reaction. So think about that in light of what it said in Proverbs 23. What does he say? When shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. So basically, this guy has a pattern that when he wakes up, and people who are alcoholics, they do this. They drink first thing in the morning. He just had a pattern develop where he just wakes up. And when he wakes up, he doesn't think about it. He doesn't make a decision about it. He doesn't think about the wounds without cause. He doesn't think about the throwing up. He doesn't think about any of that. He just automatically just wakes up and has a drink. No thought. And even science has shown that there's no thought going into it at all. Zero thought. It's just this one part of your brain that just throws into motion these automatic reactions that defy all logic, that defy all reason of saying you're destroying your life, you're flushing thousands of dollars down the toilet, you know, you're alienating your friends, you're getting a DUI, you've lost your license, you've lost your job, you've lost your marriage, you're inflicting pain on yourself. Just doesn't even come into play. Just automatic. Same thing with smoking. I mean, people smoke by routine, by habit. They just automatically put the cigarette in their mouth. Now, it's interesting because there are, and I'm going to show you some scriptures here that deal with this. But go, if you would, for example, to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. But there are certain things that trigger these habits in your life. Like, for example, I don't know, did anyone else do this? When we moved to this building, did you keep driving to the old building for a long time? Did anybody else? Am I the only person who did that? Okay, me and Chris Button. I mean, I just kept driving to the old building every time. I would drive to the old building and read the sign that said, we've moved. And, oh yeah, that's right, we've moved. And it sounds stupid. I can't believe that more people haven't done it. But honestly, even to this day, now listen, when I'm thinking, I drive to this building. But when I stop thinking, and let's say I'm on a phone call or I'm just preoccupied with somebody else, next thing I know, I'm just parked in front of that old building. And then I'm just thinking to myself, why am I here? Because it's just a habit. Okay, I have another habit. Whenever I turn out of my neighborhood and I turn left on Baseline, I always get on the I-10 going east because I've gone that way so many times, just I-10 east, I-10 east, I-10 east, I-10 east. So every time I'm going to go on the 60, I always have to tell myself, go on the 60, go on the 60, go, because it's just so against my routine and my habit. And so just 2 days ago, I got on there, I turned left on Baseline, I needed to take the 60, and my phone rang. Just as I turned on the Baseline, I answered the phone. Next thing I know, I'm cruising down I-10 east. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, you know. And then I had to get off at Elliott, turn around, and go back. Why? Because these habits can become very powerful in our lives. Just automatic, you know, you just go on autopilot. And you just start driving the places that you know. You know, you just head up the 143 north and it just sets in motion the next few turns. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. And think about this. What about when somebody asks you for your directions to your house, sometimes you can't even give it to them. But does that mean you can't get home? You know how to get home by habit. Or think about this. Who plays a musical instrument? Okay? When you play piano, and I play piano, that's my main instrument, habits. Because like, if you were to, I could sit down and play songs for you right now and play them perfectly. And if you asked me to write down what notes you're playing, there's no way in the world I could write down the notes. I couldn't even tell you the first 7 notes. I could play the whole song from memory. But you know what? I'm not really playing it from memory. Memory is the wrong choice of words. It's not memory. It's just habit. My mind has just realized, oh, there's just a routine of playing this song. And I could just sit down and start playing, but I could never tell you what keys I'm playing. I would, if I, and here's the thing, if I start thinking too hard, I couldn't play the song. You literally sometimes have to almost turn your brain off and then just start playing piano. I'm not even kidding. And, you know, he's nodding his head because he's a piano player. It's very true. And this is a powerful force that can be a law in our members, as Paul said, that can be our carnal body forcing us to do things that we don't want to do. Or this can be used to be developing good habits and spiritual habits and so forth. So here's the thing. Whenever there's a habit, there's always something that triggers that habit. Okay? There's always something that sets this routine in motion that tells your brain, hey, perform habit X. And these type of triggers have been divided into five categories of triggers that people respond to when they exercise a habit. So the first one is time. You know, a certain time comes and that habit kicks in. That's kind of like the guy in Proverbs 23. He wakes up first thing in the morning and boom, a habit is triggered. And you probably have things that you do every morning when you wake up. You wake up and, you know, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you make breakfast, whatever it is, whatever the routine is, you have this certain pattern and routine of things that you do every single day at the same time. You know, you do something at noon, you do something at night, whatever. The Sabbath day, for Jesus it was the Sabbath day. The Sabbath rolls around, boom, he goes to the synagogue, he reads. It could be when you arise, etc. But number two, another trigger could be a certain location. You know, for me, like when I come to this parking lot, I was triggered, go to suite 105. Or when I get onto Baseline, I'm triggered, take I-10 East. It's when I get to that particular location that I go there. Now look what the Bible says in Proverbs 5, verse 8. It's talking about the strange woman, ungodly women. He says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. So he's saying, don't just not commit fornication with her. He's just saying, get away from her, stay away from her door. Don't even be in that street. He said a few pages later, don't even go the way to her house. Don't even go anywhere near that house. Now look, there are people today who've drunk alcohol in the past. There are probably a lot of people in our church today who used to struggle with drinking and have been drunk many times in their life. But now they've kicked that bad habit. They don't get drunk anymore. They don't drink at all anymore. They're living a Christian life. They've been sober for years and years. But let me tell you something. If that same person were to walk into a bar, that location would trigger habits in their brain where they would then just walk up to the bar and just order a drink and just set in motion a whole evening of activity that they've been very accustomed to in the past. And it's like riding a bicycle. They'll get right back on that bike and start riding it again. That's why you need to stay away from bad places, and especially places that have caused you to commit sins in the past. You should stay far away from those places. And you might say, well, I go to the bar now, but I just go to the bar and drink water. Or I just go to the bar and drink a soda. I just go in the bar and just play pool, and that's it. But what you don't understand is that you're triggering bad habits that are triggered by that location that will cause you to go back. And I mean, I could tell you about many people I've talked to who they didn't drink at all. They went into a bar for whatever reason to go meet somebody, to go pick up somebody, and they weren't going to drink at all. But once they got in there, the smells, the sights, the sounds, next thing they know, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just ordering a drink. Just as natural as rain. I don't know about you, but I eat a lot at Chipotle. Okay, that's a restaurant that I go to a lot when I'm traveling and I'm on the road. I love Chipotle. And many of you have been to Chipotle with me because I eat at Chipotle a lot. But I literally, when I'm driving around, if I see a Chipotle, I start to go there. And sometimes I'll literally have just eaten. Like I'll have eaten like an hour. I'm not even hungry. I'm not hungry at all. And I see a Chipotle and I go, oh, cool, there's Chipotle. And then I start to, I'm like, wait a minute, I just ate 2 hours ago. I don't need to eat Chipotle. And then, you know, and then I catch myself and go where I'm supposed to go. But I just maybe I'm a very habit type person more than some. But anyway, so trigger, you know, these things that can trigger habits are like a time, certain time of day. Now with cigarettes, it's the same thing. You know, it could be like a certain time, certain amount of time goes by every hour or every hour and a half, certain period of time, and then boom, time for another cigarette. Okay, or I go to a place like a bar or a casino, and then boom, bad habits are triggered. A third thing is other people. And this is what scientists have found when they're studying habits. These are the five triggers that they found that trigger people to do automatic things. It could be a time, could be a location, or a certain person. They get around a certain person and they do something. They some activity, they see somebody, and then boom, a habit is triggered. Now look, that's why some people who had a bad past and they're around certain bad friends and bad people, they can start living a good, godly, righteous Christian life. And then as soon as they get around those people, it's like something switches. They're saying the type of stuff they used to say. They're acting the way they used to act. They're doing the things that they used to do. That's why I've noticed a lot of times when people got saved and they moved to a different area, a lot of times they grew a lot faster as a Christian because the places weren't, they weren't driving by the same places that were trying to throw them into those old habits again and talking to the same people that just kept throwing them back into their old bad habits again. And so sometimes a geographic move, like when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and went to Canaan, can sometimes do wonders for people who have a hard time giving up their past habits. And then another thing that triggers is a certain feeling or emotion that people have. Like, let's say, you know, boredom. You know, you get bored, you go on the internet and start watching stuff you shouldn't watch, or go on TV and start watching TV that you shouldn't be watching, it, which is all of it. You know, you get bored, you reach for a cigarette, you know, or whatever the feeling. You get sad and you pour yourself a drink or whatever. These triggers are that trigger these bad habits. And then the fifth thing is just the preceding activity, like whatever you do one thing and then you do another to follow up with it, and so on and so forth. I don't want to spend too much time with that. But if you would go to Psalm 61, you're in Proverbs, just go back a few pages to Psalm 61. So let me talk about, that was all just the introduction. This is going to be a long sermon. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not going to be long. But that was all the introduction because I just wanted to explain to you this whole concept of habits and bad habits and good habits. So here's what we have to do in our lives. We all want to live a life that's pleasing to God, right? Or else we wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning in church, right? We all want to walk in the Spirit. We want to put on the new man. We don't want to be drunks and smokers and gamblers. And we don't want to be those that are, you know, watching filth. And we don't want to be late everywhere we go. And we don't want to be, you know, someone who doesn't pay our bills. I mean, we want to be a righteous, godly person who reads the Bible, prays, goes soul winning, walks in the Spirit, and lives a life pleasing to God. That's why you're even here on Sunday morning, because you want to grow, you want to do well. And so the question is, how do we get rid of these bad habits? Because, you know, and look, I want you to think in your mind about some sin in your life that is a habitual sin, and I'm sure everybody could probably think of something that they do wrong on a continual basis. You know, no, I'm just doing pretty good, Pastor. Okay, well then, you know, great. Just sit back and, you know, smile and be happy. But probably 99% of the people in here could think of something that they would like to change about their life. Some sin or some, and maybe it's not even a sin, or maybe it's just a time waster, or just, you know, just a vice, just a bad habit. You know, I don't know, biting your fingernails or whatever. But, you know, I want to focus more on sin, you know, because obviously that's the most important thing, is to get the sin out of our life. You know, to get these, and I'm sure that there are plenty of sins that we could look at that are things, and it might be a little thing. I'm not saying everybody's habitually getting drunk or, you know, doing major sins, but you know what? There are little sins too that we just habitually do over and over again that we need to get the victory over. The Bible says that we need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know, I'm not saying you're a kleptomaniac, you know, somebody who just steals by habit, just constantly steals by habit. But you might be having a smaller sin. Maybe you're looking at things that you shouldn't look at, or saying things that, you know, saying dumb things, or arguing and talking back, or whatever the case may be. So how do we get rid of our bad habits and replace them with good habits, or eliminate those bad habits? Well, first of all, the first step to getting rid of bad habits is to realize that they exist. You know, we have to identify the bad habit. And that's where confession comes in. The Bible talks about the fact that we need to confess our sins to God. Number one, it says, you know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But He also says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another, or pray one for another, that you may be healed. But He says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. So we need to identify that we have sin in our life, and we need to identify what are bad habits that we should try to correct and get rid of. Then we have to stop and ask ourselves, what is it that's triggering that bad habit? What is it that caused me? So let's just use smoking, for example, because smoking is a pretty common bad habit. And you know, I don't know of anybody in this room who smokes. I'm telling the truth right now. I do not know, but I promise you there are people in this room who smoke. Because I've been pastoring long enough to realize that. And even though I could not name any specific person in here that smokes, I promise you, so I can smell it. No, I honestly can't smell. I have a horrible sense of smell. But I guarantee you, because I remember one time, even when I first started pastoring and the church was much smaller, I preached a sermon on smoking and four people thought that sermon was directed just at me. He found out that I smoke. And I did not know that anyone was smoking. I was shocked. Whoa, you know, people are smoking? And there were four people, even when the church was small, that were smoking. Because usually people are pretty good at hiding that. You know, they know to pop in a breath mint or whatever. But I guarantee you there are people here who smoke, even though I don't know of any. I'd be shocked if there aren't, just because of the experiences I've had. Okay? Raise your hand if you smoke. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't do that. But what I'm saying is, with smoking, there's something that's triggering you to keep smoking. You know, there's something that's triggering that, you know, maybe it's you wake up in the morning, maybe you go on a break, maybe you step out the front door, you know, maybe you get in the car or whatever. You need to figure out what it is that's triggering that habit, and then you need to find something to replace that habit with. And tell yourself, okay, every time X happens, you know, every time this trigger happens, I'm going to do this instead. And I've talked to a lot of people, what they did is let's say they carry their cigarettes right here as a habit in their shirt pocket. They replaced it with a pocket New Testament. So then they have a habit of always reaching in their pocket and pulling out a cigarette. Well, every time they'd reach for the cigarette, what do they find? The New Testament. That's not what they expected. But then they pull it out. But it's a habit. So it's hard to just say, okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore. So what's better is replace the cigarettes with the New Testament and then reach into that pocket and there's the New Testament, right? Pull out the New Testament and read a few verses. You know, and maybe even have it marked up to certain scriptures that are helpful. But just pull it out and read a chapter. And, you know, reading a chapter is probably going to take the same amount of time as smoking a cigarette. Read the chapter, put it back. Now, that's not going to give you the same satisfaction as smoking a cigarette, but it's going to give you a different type of satisfaction. It's going to give you a spiritual satisfaction of, hey, I learned something from the Bible. Hey, I'm reading a lot of Bible. If you do that, you'll read 20 chapters a day. Read a pack a day. That's my new motto. Okay? You know? But so that's just an idea of how you could replace it and do something else. Okay, let's say, for example, you know, you have a bad habit of talking back. You know, every time somebody corrects you, every time somebody tells you you've made a mistake, you just instantly defend yourself. Just instantly talk back. Instead of just saying, yes, sir, you talk back. Okay. Or a child saying to their mother, yes, ma'am. You know, when the mother is telling them something. You know, if you have that bad habit, you identify, okay, I have a bad habit. I talk back every time I'm given any instructions or corrected. Well, then you have to find something to replace that with. And you have to make a conscious effort. Basically, you're looking for that trigger. Okay, I'm gonna pay attention when somebody corrects me. And when they correct me, instead of talking back, I'm going to say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or, you know, whatever it is that it is. Let's say, for example, you have a habit of losing your temper and screaming at the children, right? And, you know, I'm sure that there are plenty of parents who have a bad habit of losing their temper and screaming at their children, right? Well, here's what you replace it with. And look, in Proverbs 23, the answer was right there when he said, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. So here's what people need to replace that bad habit. Okay, what's causing me to scream and yell at my children in anger? Probably because they did something wrong. Probably because they did something stupid, right? So here's what you have to decide. Okay, you know what? They're going to just say, well, I'm just going to remove the trigger. No, your kids are not going to stop doing things wrong, and they're not going to stop saying stupid things. So here's what you have to tell yourself. Instead of yelling and getting mad, I'm going to watch out for that bad behavior. And when that bad behavior comes and I have the impulse to start screaming and yelling in anger, instead, I'm just going to calmly give them a spanking. And you're going to basically get the same satisfaction out of giving the spanking. It's true. You're getting the same satisfaction out of giving. Go to Hebrews 12, you mock my preaching. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. How dare you? Go to Hebrews chapter 12, because look, what does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 12? It says in verse 9 of Hebrews 12, further, so you got to prove everything from the Bible, or people will laugh at you. They won't take you seriously. Go to Hebrews 12, 9. It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, talking about our physical fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after what? They chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So here the Bible is saying that parents sometimes, you know, chasten their children so that they don't go insane. Because, by the way, parents who don't chasten their children are going insane, or are already insane, or they just only have one kid. And then they'll just be insane for a couple of years, and then it's over. You know, once the kid gets a little older, they can send it off to school and let it drive somebody else insane. You know, the bus driver or the school teacher or whatever. So what I'm saying is, you know, people who have a lot of kids, people who have, you know, we have seven children, people who have a lot of children, you know, you're going to have to do some chastening or you're going to lose your mind. Okay? And look, parents, I've noted parents who don't spank their kids right are the same parents that are screaming and yelling and angry at their kids all the time. Whereas the parent who disciplines their child, that's replacing the bad habit of screaming. And you say, why is it so bad to scream and yell at your kids? Because screaming and yelling at your kids does not correct them. It makes them just resent you and hate you and mad at you. It does not make their behavior better. It is a bad way of dealing with your children. Whereas spanking your children will bring good results in their behavior, and it will correct their behavior. And if you disagree, well, then I suggest you start believing what the Bible says, because and that's a whole other sermon in and of itself. I'm not going to go into it for sake of time. But what I'm saying is, you identify, okay, I have a problem. I lose my temper and yell at my kids. Okay? What is it that causes me to do that? And what am I going to do instead when that thing happens? You know, when the bad behavior happens, instead of yelling, I'm just going to calmly give them a spanking. And a lot of times they feel like they're doing their kid a favor by not spanking them, but all they're doing is then they're just going to do the other thing, which is screaming and yelling and anger. So that's a good habit that you could replace with something else. Okay? You might have a habit that says, you know, every time I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning is I turn on the TV. Now, that's a horrible habit. That's a horrible way to start your day. And yet many people, that's how they start their day. They wake up in the morning, they turn on the TV. Okay? Well, you know what? You need to replace that habit with I wake up in the morning and I read my Bible. Or I wake up in the morning and I get on my knees and pray. Now, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, I just looked up the word daily. Daily. And I found daily prayer. I found daily Bible reading. I found daily soul winning. I found singing hymns daily. I mean, all these things just kept coming up. People doing it daily, daily, daily. Why? As a habit. Okay? And you can develop a good habit. So, for example, you wake up every morning, and the first thing you do, you get on your knees and pray. And you have to make a decision. This is what I'm going to do. Now, the first few times, it's going to take great effort. Every morning, okay, you're going to have to force yourself. Okay, I'm going to pray, or I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm going to do both, ideally. But you know, after a while, you'll just start doing it instinctively without even thinking about it. I mean, you'll just roll out of bed and just read your Bible. Now, wouldn't that be great to just roll out of bed and just read your Bible? But that's what you have to build, those habits. And it's hard at first, but you got to keep doing it. You know, getting in the habit of going to church, getting in the habit of reading your Bible, getting in the habit of praying, getting in the habit of singing hymns. You know, and this is a habit. The Bible says that we should be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know, that's a great habit to get into. Some people have a habit of singing worldly songs. But you can get into a habit of singing hymns. You know what? How about this? Bad habit, singing worldly songs. Because David said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. So what if you have a habit of throughout the day you just find yourself singing bad songs? Maybe you go into the store and there's a song on the radio that you remember, and then boom, next thing you know, you're humming along, you're singing along to some horrible song. Why don't you decide, you know what, every time I start singing a worldly song, or every time I feel the urge to sing a worldly song, I'm going to sing a hymn instead, and I'm going to sing it all the way through. Just sing the whole verse and the chorus. Pretty soon, you'll get in the habit of this. That's what you do. And look, habits are very powerful. It's funny, last night even, just last night, perfect example of this. We were having trouble getting baby Stephen to go to sleep. He was fussing and crying. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, I need to think about my sermon anyway and put some finishing touches on it. So I said, why don't I take him for a walk? And I'll think about my sermon while I take him for a walk. So we put Stephen in the car seat and in the little stroller. And I went to take, and I do this a lot. I like to take walks with him in the evening to help him go down to sleep sometimes, because it's just a good time for me to think and relax. So I put him in the stroller, and I start taking Stephen for a walk. And, you know, I always sing to him, because at first I have to sing to him until he falls asleep. And then when he falls asleep, I can stop singing. So I'm pushing the stroller, and I'm singing a bunch of songs. And, you know, there are so many hundreds of songs in the hymnal. And I'm just singing all different songs, just randomly, just different songs are popping into my mind. Well, I went all the way down to the end of the street, wrapped around, and turned around and started coming back. And I got to this certain point on the street where I'm heading back toward my house, and I was at this pink mailbox, and I started singing the song, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. You know, I have a song that Jesus gave me, and I started singing that song. But then I realized that I've sung that song every night that I took him for a walk, and that I only ever sung it at that exact point in the walk. And it just came to my mind, wait a minute, I remember singing this last time and the time before, and it was always on my way back when I'm at the pink mailbox, right around that point. Because just everything just looked familiar when I started to sing that song. And that just shows how songs can get ingrained in you, habits can get ingrained in you, where you think that you're just randomly singing songs, but you're singing the same songs at the same time in your day, the same time in your walk, whatever. Look, this can be a force for good or evil in your life. You know, and this is the importance of being consistent. Reading your Bible once in a while, reading your Bible when you feel like it, is not going to develop a habit. But getting up every morning and reading the Bible, or listening to the Bible on CD every day on the way to work and every day on the way home, praying at a certain time every day. You know, you look at people in the Bible, they had these habits. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he had that habit. He did it every day. He probably associated it with his meals. You know, he probably prayed breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or morning, noon, and night, whatever. But if you just live life at random, I'm going to go to church when I get a chance. I'm going to go to church when I feel like I need to go to church. I'm going to go to church 3 times a month at random. You're not developing habits. But if you're the type of person that just comes to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you're going to miss very rarely, because you're just in that habit. It's just your routine. I mean, it's going to take something big to throw you out of that routine, because it's a long ingrained routine. And so what we need to do is decide, what are the bad habits in our life? Let's get rid of them. Let's get the victory over them. Let's walk in the Spirit, and let's replace them with good habits of prayer, Bible reading, soul winning. And look, do something with this message. Don't just think, oh, that was interesting. No, do something with this message. If you don't pray every day, that's a sin. Yep. The Bible commands us to pray. It says, pray without ceasing. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. If you don't read your Bible every day, that is a sin. If you're not singing the hymns, that is a sin. The Bible commands us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If you don't go soul winning, you're in sin. And you know, yeah, you might have your random bursts of soul winning that happen, you know, every once in a blue moon, you know, you give the gospel to somebody at work. But you need to get in a pattern of Sundays or Wednesdays or Mondays and just execute that habit. Pretty soon you're not even thinking about it. It's just Sunday's rolling around and there you are. Wednesday rolls around, there you are. Your brain is literally not even telling you to do it on a high level. It's just on the inside, deep down in your brain, just boom. Go to church. Boom. Sing the songs. Boom. Read your Bible. And look, I don't know about you, but I want to have good habits. And, you know, you could even apply this to other habits of just, you know, exercise or you know, being on time to work, you know, things like that. Figure out what's making you late and fix it. You know, figure out what's making you smoke and fix it. You know, figure out what's going on. And then one last thing is that, you know, when you're looking at habits, there's always a, you know, when scientists talk about this, basically, they talk about 3 steps. They talk about the trigger, and then they talk about the routine, and then they talk about the reward. Now, what is the reward? The reward is what makes us keep coming back and doing the same habit. Okay? Because if there's no reward, we wouldn't do it again. So the reward, for example, you know, when I turn left on Baseline and get on the I-10, the reward is that I get to my destination. You know, when I smoke the cigarette, not that I do, but if I did, you know, then the reward is, you know, nicotine or whatever. I don't know why people smoke, to be honest, but I don't want to know why. But, you know, whatever the chemical reward, you know, maybe drinking, the reward is getting some kind of a good feeling. Or maybe it's just socializing with friends or having fun or whatever. You know, you need to basically learn to reward yourself for the good things or find reward in the good things. For example, reading my Bible every day, the reward would be, you know, just knowing that I'm doing right, learning something from the Bible. Or maybe reward yourself in this way. Maybe you're a person who wakes up in the morning really hungry. Who wakes up in the morning just ravenously hungry? Anybody? Okay, well, here I do. I'm starving. I'm hungry right now. But anyway, you know, I'm always hungry. But look, if you wake up in the morning just starving hungry and you just want to eat, you know what you should do then? Just say this: I'm not going to eat until I've read my Bible. Or I'm not going to eat until I've prayed. So now you wake up and you have a routine of reading the Bible. And then at the end of reading the Bible, you get to enjoy something that rewards you for reading the Bible. And if you don't read the Bible, you don't get to eat. You know, look, the Bible says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So think about how powerful that would be if you say, well, sometimes I just get up in the morning, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Well, you don't have time to eat then. And now your brain's going to kick into gear because your brain, deep down in your brain, is like, feed me. You know, you don't have to think about that. That's automatic. Feed me. You have an instinct to want to eat. People have instincts to want to eat, to want to sleep, just basic instinct. And so, you know, you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what, I'm not going to eat until I've read my Bible and prayed. Then basically, that's a habit you're developing. And then at the end of the habit, you're rewarding yourself with food. And when you don't do the habit, you don't get the food. Pretty soon, your brain's going to associate, hey, reading the Bible and praying is a really good idea because it gets me fed, okay? And that's what you do. And so that's just, you know, it's just some small suggestions. You know, you need to think and ponder this on your own. But just identify bad habits in your life or identify good habits that you need to have and make changes in your life to be a better Christian, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better employee, and just be a better person. By, you know, getting biblical, you say, well, what kind of habits do I want? Ones that line up with the Bible. The Bible's telling you to go to church, read the Bible, pray, sing hymns. Those are the habits you need to build, biblical habits. And you say, well, what are the bad habits I need to get rid of? Chewing on my fingernails? Well, that, you know, that might not be a bad idea. But really, the main thing you need to get rid of is things that the Bible is telling you are sinful, like looking at a woman. I mean, there are people who just by habit, a scantily clad, beautiful woman walks by, and their eyes go there like a magnet. It's a habit. You need to replace that habit. Every time I see a scantily clad, beautiful woman, I'm going to turn my head the other way and I'm going to quote Psalm 101. You know, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Whatever, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I think upon a maid? You know, replace that habit of just a knee-jerk, oh, I see a dirty magazine, I'm going to look at it. Oh, I see a scantily clad woman, I'm going to look at it. You know, and just tell yourself, when that trigger comes, boom, I'm going to look away and I'm going to quote a verse. The reward is knowing that I've done right. Or, I don't know, pull a piece of candy and pop it in your mouth and reward yourself. Whatever. Whatever it takes, okay? Anyway, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, God, because without your word, we wouldn't even know how to live our lives. We wouldn't even know what kind of habits we need. We wouldn't even know what to get rid of. We wouldn't even know what to start doing and to stop doing. Help us to use that wisdom, Lord, to build the right kind of habits. Help us not to sit there and have to decide every day whether we're going to read our Bible or whether we're going to go to church or whether we're going to go to somebody. Help us to just decide one big decision. That yes, we will be in church. Yes, we will go to church and go soul winning and pray and read our Bibles. It's just not negotiable. It's just who we are. It's just what we do. It's just our habit. It's our routine. It's our custom. It's our manner of life. Help us to get the right habits and get rid of these bad habits that are warring against us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.